I'm really excited for our sermon today because who gets to join me? So I want to invite Natalie Hickman, who's right here, actually already on stage, sorry. Invite Natalie to come grab a mic. And Natalie's going to be sharing with us about going to Southeast Asia for 5 weeks, primarily in Myanmar. And for some of you, you might think, like, I'm never going to go to Southeast Asia, or, like, that's impossible for me. As you hear her story today, I want you to try to pick up on the lessons she's going to be sharing. Sometimes you go really, really far away, and the primary things you learn are things about Jesus that are true anywhere, you know? So as she's talking, be thinking about, what can me and Jesus do with what she's saying? Okay, so let me pray. Jesus, I thank you that we get to be here together today. And Jesus, I pray you would speak through Natalie, that you would come and teach all of us about what it means to be humble like you, Jesus, about how we can walk with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So Natalie, I know you did a lot in 5 weeks. You can't tell us about it all, but tell us a little bit about what you did in Myanmar and a little bit just kind of the big picture of your life and where you're headed.
Okay, so I felt called to be a missionary when Dan and Allison Foreman left, like when I was like 7 or 8 or something like that. And like then my understanding of a missionary was that there are people in the world that have never heard of Jesus, and then a missionary goes to them and tells them about them and hopes that they'll accept Jesus. And that just sounded like the best thing ever to me.
And Dan and Allison, if you guys weren't here when Natalie was 7, like they're missionaries that from Maywood that we got to help send out.
But I just thought that was the coolest idea, and also it kind of broke my heart a little bit that people didn't know about Jesus, because that just blew my little 7-year-old mind. So I felt like, yeah, I'm going to be a missionary when I grow up. And then when I was 16, actually, like God, I had a dream, and in that dream, like God, like told me, like, you're going to be a missionary to Myanmar. So I was really excited when my school offered this trip this summer, because I'm like, well, I like Myanmar. I want to go to Myanmar. And God was like, yeah, I want you to go there this summer. And so I went.
Awesome. So incredible, and incredible to see the future potentially too here. This story doesn't end for Natalie today. It's just getting started, and God willing. And so tell us a little bit about this trip. We're going to kind of fly through some pictures quickly and then dive into some particular stories. So this first picture.
Okay, so this first picture is Swetago Temple. It's the biggest temple in Myanmar, the biggest Buddhist temple in Myanmar. And we went there, and we were walking around, and the whole time I had a headache, and I just didn't feel good. Like, spiritual warfare is like a real thing in Myanmar, and I was kind of constantly aware of it, so I wanted to show this. Okay, so I went, it was me and one other girl from my school. Her name is Sarah. I might mention her name again. And also her dad was with us for 2 weeks. His name is Ron. And we were staying with Jackie and Steve Sullivan, so I might say those names again. But this is a picture of us at the Bible school that we were teaching at. We were there the first 2 weeks of our trip. We were in a little village called Mobi outside of Yangon, which is the capital. And me and Sarah were teaching English to the first year students, and Ron was teaching like a pastoral class to the older students. So we spent 2 weeks there, and it was just a really special time that we had there. Okay, this is Sarah and I's class, so just our class. And that's what that is. So this is the preschool that Jackie and Steve own in Mandalay. So they live in Mandalay, and our second 2 weeks, we were in Mandalay teaching conversational English, but we were also helping out at this preschool. And this is one of our English classes. I think we're playing a game, but in these English classes, they're adults who like have like 9-to-5 jobs, and they come to these classes so that they can learn how to hold a conversation in English. And then this is, so our very last week, we were actually in Thailand, and we were helping at a missionary conference. Me and Sarah were watching like little babies, and then there were other interns that were watching older kids.
So Natalie and I got to have a great experience at you guys aren't going to get to have today. We sat down in a coffee shop earlier this week, and we talked for like 2 hours about all the stuff that she did. And maybe I made the wrong decision. I decided we were going to compress it a little bit for you guys, so it won't be 2 hours. But one of the big questions I asked Natalie was, like, what was a theme, or what was something big that God was teaching you through this whole thing, and can we focus on that? And so let us know, what was it that God was teaching you while you were there?
Yeah, so God taught me, like, he actually taught me, like, three really important things, and I was able to share one on Wednesday, but the biggest thing that he showed me was about humility, and he really, through both a devotional that Sarah and I were doing called Humility, it's really great, you should check it out, it's by Andrew Murray, but also through just the people in Myanmar, they are just such humble people, like, they are just so... like, they're just humble to their core, like, they're servants, and they're friendly, and they're just the kindest people. So it just really kind of hit home that, you know, Jesus's whole life just shows this virtue of humility that he has. And it's really the most important virtue that he had, because through it came our salvation, and then in turn, his resurrection. And so if we are to be Christians and to be Christ-like, then humility needs to be the virtue that we seek after the most.
Yeah. So humility is kind of the theme of what we're going to be talking about today. And while Natalie was sharing with me about that, I had one of these blessed moments, and maybe you guys have had a time like this too. You're talking to somebody, and they're saying things, or you're seeing things in them that just are right in tune with something that you've read out of the Bible. Like, it's just it's the same rhythm that you've seen there before. And in Colossians, it talks about how all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus. And like, as Natalie started talking all this stuff about humility, it all kept coming back to how she sees those humble traits in Jesus as the perfect example of humility. And it was just that she's learning these big things in another country, but it's mostly she's learning about Jesus. And as we talked about Philippians 2 as a great passage that dives into, like, what is humility, and how did Jesus show it? And so we're going to read it, and I'm going to have Natalie kind of explain some stuff from that passage. So it's Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." So instead of being selfish, think about the other people and put importance on them, care about them. "Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others." And Natalie will share with us here in just a couple minutes about a friend she got to meet who, like, embodied these two verses, this humble attitude. But then it goes on to talk to us about Jesus. It says, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." So, Natalie, do you want to talk to us about?
Yeah. So, and just a little quick summary, Jesus was so humble that he died for you. Like, even though he's fully God, like, he is the incarnate Son of God. So, Jesus's example here, to me, it says that it didn't matter that he had all these, like, he could have been this really prideful person. He had all the reason in the world to think highly of himself, but still he didn't. He humbled himself and was willing to die for people like you and me who don't deserve that, but he still did it, and God honored that.
Yeah, no, Jesus is the person who could really say, "I deserve better, like, my rights are being stepped on," and he gave up those legitimate claims to be able to do what God wanted him to do. Like, he never got into a situation and said, "I deserve better, this is unjust, you have to treat me better." He had a bigger mission in mind. So what did God do with all of that humility? Verse 9, it's says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Okay, so in Luke a couple different times. It's written that he who is exalted, who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And this is kind of saying the same thing, where Jesus, who did humble himself, he like emptied himself and let himself be used for God's glory. He was then exalted. God saw that. And earlier in this passage, it says not, it's like not for his own advantage, but he came from this place of humility of, I want to honor God. And God saw that, and he exalted him for it.
Yeah, it's a huge truth. If you lift yourself up, God will push you down. And if you, and Josh Monk used to talk about, like, when he got that verse, it's also in Proverbs, but he understood a lot of his past, like why his life had gone the way it had gone. Because someone was against him, and that someone was God, you know, like that had been pushing against him. He'd been going against the grain for so long. And when he humbled himself, you find this. When you humble yourself to God and to his mission, like God will lift you up in ways that you couldn't imagine. And so I love the story you have about this guy named Sin Sin is his name, this guy in Myanmar. Tell us how he taught you about humility, how he showed it.
Okay, so yeah, in our English classes that we had in Mandalay, he was in my group, and he was the only Christian that was in my group, and everyone else was like super hardcore Buddhist. And at one point, we were talking about, what do you think is going to happen after you die? And all the Buddhists said, I think I'm going to be reincarnated as something else. And Sin Sin said, I think I'm going to go to heaven because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And everyone kind of scoffed at him. He's like, oh yeah, you're going to heaven. Like, sure. And then they asked me that same question, and I'm like, well, I think I'm going to heaven too, because I believe in Jesus and in God. And they all kind of realized, they're like, oh, we shouldn't have laughed at Sin Sin, because our teacher thinks that too. And then at another point, where like one of the questions was, what's a quote that really inspires you? And he said, I don't remember what verse, but he like said a verse, and everyone's like, oh, it's from the Bible, like, since in the crazy Christian guy, like they really were not nice to him about him sharing his faith. And I think he knew that they wouldn't have been very nice, because that's just the way the culture is. Like, Christians and Buddhists just don't get along in that country. And so I think it was really kind of brave of him to be so bold as to share those things, even though he was laughed at for it.
Yeah, and Natalie got to talking to me about there are Christians in Myanmar, and a lot of them, though, have this attitude of, I know best, and I'm a Christian, and I have special knowledge that you don't have. And so even though they might be bold, they're not humble. And Sin Sin wasn't this, like, shy, timid, afraid of himself sort of person. Like, that's not humility. What he had was this, other people don't determine who he is. And so when people were laughing at him or mocking him, he's not letting that control the way he reacts. He's got this humility of, I don't care about what other people think about me. I care about them. And that's a much different attitude than most of us have. Most of us get driven by pride, and when someone disrespects us, our pride's hurt, and we act out of that. And so we try to hurt them or something like that. So Sin Sin got disrespected when he shared his faith, got laughed at times. There was a time later on when you knew him, while you're in Myanmar, you had a chance to see him out and about, like not just in the classroom. And how was he humble in that setting?
On our very last day, me and Sarah and about six of our students, we went to a waterfall and we went to some like touristy spots and all the tourist spots.
Well, actually, because we didn't talk about the Buddhist temple stuff. Sorry. Are you up for that? Or is this the same story? Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I thought we were jumping too far ahead. I was like, don't skip. That's a good story.
So before we went to the waterfall, we were at these tourist spots, and they're all temples. They're all Buddhist temples. And the other five people that were all Buddhists, they were telling us all about the temple and what each thing means. That's us when we were eating lunch. At one point, like, each one of them would, like, go away to pray or at one of the idols. And like they were all like really having like a religious experience, and they were really enjoying telling us all about like what each thing means. And I had talked to Sinsen before, and he had said that he didn't like going into temples because it just made him feel really uncomfortable, because he felt like spiritual, like oppression. But he still went with us because he knew that it would be disrespectful to the other people if he just like chilled out in the car, because in their culture, that would be very disrespectful. So he did that anyway. He went to this place and he listened to them talk, and he was very respectful. He didn't say anything. He didn't like scoff at them like they did to him. So it was just kind of interesting to see him in that situation.
Yeah. So they had mistreated him so much when he shared his deepest faith, but when they shared theirs with his, he treated them with respect. This idea of loving other people the way you want to be loved, not dependent on how they treat you, but being bold about his faith, but then also being able to treat them the way that he would have wished that they would have treated him. Like, is a great example of humility. So you're doing a devotional on humility. You've got Sinsen showing you some things. This last day, how are you trying to be more humble as you're facing your last day on this trip, mission trip?
So Sarah and Jackie and I prayed before we left, because it's about a two-hour car ride there and 2 hours back to get to the waterfall. And so we prayed that during our time in the car and the whole day, that we would, that there would be chances for us to just like plant little seeds in each one of them, so that, I don't know, there's something in the back of their mind that's like kind of calling them to Christ, or that if opportunities come up where we can share, that we're wise in what we say, and that we're gentle in what we say. And so we really prayed for that, and actually we got that experience, because we were in these cars, and Sinsen was sitting next to me, and then there were two of the Buddhist students. They were in front. The other ones were in another car, but the four of us were talking, and they asked me about school, and I go to a Christian Bible school, and I study biblical languages, so everything about school for me is about my faith. So both of the Buddhists got to hear that, and then at one point they also asked me about my tattoos, and all of my tattoos have something to do with my faith. So it was cool to share, like, I have Psalm 51 on my foot, and so it's not about like going super in depth and like telling them the whole backstory about why I'd like that psalm so much, but just being able to tell them that David, the guy who wrote the psalm, he was really heartbroken about something that he had done, and he was crying out to God, like, forgive me and just restore me into, you know, who you want me to be. And the two in the front, like, I know they didn't totally understand, but they were kind of like, okay. And so we just had a lot of opportunities to share, and I explained all my other tattoos also. And at one point, like, the driver, he gave me like his aux chord, and he's like, you can just play whatever you want. And so I played NF, who, if you know who that is, he's like a rapper, but he's Christian, and he talks about his faith a lot. And the driver, he's like, oh, I love NF. And I'm like, really? Like, he was so excited that I was playing NF. And so, like, there's all throughout the car ride and our time, like, at the waterfall and just coming back, like, there were just all these little instances where I was able to share something, or Sarah was able to share something. And it was really kind of cool to see Sinsen being so open to sharing also.
Yeah, awesome. So with your humility, I want to point out a few things that Natalie's talking about there. She approached this car ride not like, we got to sit in the car for 4 hours today or whatever. Instead, with like, this is an opportunity, God, and I'm going to pray about it. And like, God, how do you want to use it? Like, that's a pretty big deal. Like, imagine if you did that for each thing you're going to do this next week. You said, God, I'm about to do this thing. I'm open to you using it however you want. And then she was hoping to plant seeds, but she didn't really worry too much about the outcomes. She just wanted to use the opportunity she was given. Sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to control people around us, but she just prayed and then took a swing at the opportunities that God gave her, and she left the rest in his hands. Like, it's a very humble way to approach things. So now, like, someone's here today and they're like, yeah, I want more humbleness. I want to be more like Sinsen, or ultimately, I want to be more like Jesus. What's your advice for him?
The first step I would say is to pray. I think that's the first step in all of and everything you want to do if you're like seeking God. But I think praying specifically for to say, Jesus, just make me humble, make me like you. Give me a humble spirit, give me like a servant spirit so that I can serve you and I can glorify you.
Yeah, I know some of you, when you hear that, Jesus, make me humble, some of you are like, ooh, no, I know prayer, you know, patience and humility, like those are things you don't pray for, you know, like I know people say that stuff a lot. They say it from a real nearsighted thing, as if they're afraid of God. But 1 John tells us that perfect love drives out fear. You know, the closer we get to God, we don't have to be afraid of anything. And God's our good Father. And like, if you ask him for something, he's only going to give you good things. And so if you pray, God, help me be more humble like Jesus, that is a great prayer. And if you will look at God and just say, God, you're my good Father, I trust you. And maybe he will put you through something uncomfortable that helps you be more humble, or some failure that helps you be more humble. But in the end, anything we can do to become more like Jesus is how we start to take hold of a full life. So first step, pray and ask Jesus for humility. What next?
I think I just want to make a little side note and then I'll say it. But also, if you think on the flip side, we say how humility is kind of this first virtue of Christ. Well, pride is kind of like that first virtue of Satan. Like his whole thing was, I think I can be as good as God. I'm going to be greater than God. And then, you know, he tempted Eve in the garden of, well, you can be like God. And so pride is like that root of sin. So if you don't want to sin, don't be prideful. You know, like it makes sense. It's hard to do, but like, I'm not saying I do it all the time, but it just makes sense. So with that in mind, I think looking for opportunities where you can be a servant is the like one of the best things you could do, because you know Jesus didn't come to be served but to serve. So if we embody that as well, that's where humility will like start to grow, and it'll grow in you and you'll be more humble.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very so these are very simple ideas of Jesus, I need your help to be like you. And then Mark 10:45, Jesus himself says, like, I didn't come to be served but to serve. And so it's just this idea of, Jesus, help me be like you, help me be humble, and help me to serve the people around me, because that's what Jesus would be doing. If Jesus was in the car with whoever you're going to ride home with, Jesus would be finding a way to serve people. If Jesus were with whoever you're going to be working with or hanging out with or whatever this week, Jesus would be looking for ways to serve people. You know, and so when you start praying the way Natalie's talking about and looking for opportunities, then you're going to grow in humility. You're going to grow to be more like Jesus. Final thoughts for us today?
So I think if a good visual for me anyway is of humility is like an empty glass. And if there's like anything in that glass, like it's not clean, obviously. And so if God is trying to fill this glass with his goodness and you got stuff in the glass, like it's not going to be clear and the water isn't going to be pure, and you can't, you know, you can't show that glory that God can give you if you aren't empty of yourself. And so I think that visual really made a lot of sense to me, and I hope it says something to you. But I think, and also we talk about humility as, oh, I'm nothing. It's not that you're nothing, it's that you're empty. And I think empty is a good word to use with humility, because it's not you, it is God. And everything we do as Christians should be to glorify God. So as if you can get as much of yourself out of the situation as possible, it's more glory for God.
Yeah, I mean, if you picture that image of a glass, if you dump out all the selfish ambitions that you have, and you dump out the vain conceit, thinking too much about yourself and thinking you deserve too much, you get those things out of you, is what she's talking about. Because Natalie's story is a great story of, she's wanted to be in Myanmar for years. The way she's opening up to these people is through these tattoos that connect with her very personally. So it's not that Natalie, you know, whitewashed or covered up who she was. It's at the very core of who she is what God wants to use. It's just, you got to get rid of that selfish desire to control or to manipulate people to like you, or all that junk that we have inside of us. So I want to pray a blessing over you guys. I want to pray actually for humility for you guys. And so if you will join me in that, if you'll bow your heads and we'll pray for that together. Jesus, I thank you for the message that Natalie shared and the example that you worked in sin. And Jesus, for each of us in the room right now, we want just what Natalie was talking about. We want to ask you to be more humble so we can look more like you, Jesus. Show us this week, even today, who we can serve, and help us to approach them empty of our pride and full of your goodness, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.